All right, welcome back, everybody. This is another episode of Junior Resource Investing. I've got Michael Wood from Sendero Resources, who's going to be talking through some drill results that they had out today. This is May 1st. Before I hand it over to him, though, just, you know, bog standard disclaimers as always. Blue sky conversations will be had, forward-looking statements will be made, and we are not your financial advisors. And full disclaimer will be in YouTube notes. But yeah, no, it's May 1st, and I'll actually pop back here. I see I've started on the wrong slide already, so I'll pop back here. I'll get off to the start. Obviously, Sendero has released some drill holes here today, which I thought were pretty good and very kind of encouraging in terms of the forward-looking aspects of Laulita. But I guess, Michael, do you just want to, just to start us off, I guess, first of all, thanks for coming on the show again. But do you just want to run through kind of on a, you know, a 30,000-foot view sort of angle of what these results are and their significance for us?
Yeah, no, great. No, thanks for having me, Matthew. And look, I think the key message to get across is we've been drilling in a lithocap environment. And it's a big one, right? So we've drilled the deepest hole here was 501 meters, and it ended in the base of the little cap. We couldn't get out the bottom of it. So we've drilled four holes now into this, all ended in the same heavy folding with this strong silica sericite clay alteration, which is stereotypical of the base of a little cap. So I'm pretty confident to say that. And what we've seen within the little cap is continuous mineralization. It's not bonanza grade, but it's definitely economic grade on scale, right? So we've seen, you know, the longest intercept was 364 meters, which is great to be seeing. And look, there's a polymetallic element to it. Within particularly the more northern holes that we drilled, we saw quite a bit of intermediate sulfidation veining coming through, particularly in that hole six, which brought a lot higher level silver lead zinc content to the hole. So that's also great to be seeing that intermediate sulfidation veining. And actually that, Matthew, on the kind of textbook lithocap model, that's an indication we're more at the edge of the lithocap as well, right, than close to the feeder. Now, the feeder is the key thing to look for. So look, lithocaps are formed barren, but they're a cap on a porphyry, right? And if the porphyry activity below is penetrated into the lithocap, they get mineralized. And when they become mineralized, the key part of the discovery to find is the feeder zone. That is where the highest grade is going to be. And then it disperses out from the feeder zone into the bed, and the grade gradually gets lower as you move out from the feeder, from the center. So Jeffrey Hedenquist is kind of regarded as the preeminent expert on lithocaps. There's some great stuff that he's done on YouTube where you can watch a number of his presentations. It really, you know, explains it very well, very clearly, that, you know, that the key part is that feeder. And sometimes he uses the reference, there's a great example in the Philippines called Lepanto. In Lepanto, I forget the total. It's a monster deposit that's been mined since before the war, still mining today. And about 70% of the ore comes from the feeder zone, right? And we're talking at what a giant deposit. So, you know, that's the key thing that now we understand the system. Like when we started drilling here this year, all we knew that was some decent historic shallow epithermal intercepts, right? We didn't know that it was high sulfidation. We didn't know it was hosted in a lithocap environment. Now we've learned that. Now we obviously now want to vector into, okay, so where's the source of this lithocap? Right, that is the key prize for us to be looking for now, and that's been the focus now and will be the strong focus going forward in the exploration. And it's very meaningful, right? Philo is a lithocap, and that once they found the source, you know, was a game changer, that hole 41. Pascualama, which was an amazing deposit further south from us, the Barrick one that straddled the border between Argentina and Chile, also a lithocap. I think 40 million ounces plus at Pascualama. So, look, they're amazing deposits when you can find them. And yeah, for us to be saying we found, you know, a large mineralized lithocap is very meaningful geologically. Now, look, we have to go and vector in and find a feeder. We have some pretty good ideas where it could be, particularly these two main magnetic anomalies seem like big porphyry intrusions coming up into the lithocap. So we definitely want to test those. Unfortunately, we didn't this season. With the two holes we drilled, didn't get through to test the magnetic high. But good indications, particularly on the eastern one, the one we drilled out on this map here over the most eastern one, and we touched on in the press release, for the first time we saw bornite in the assays, right, in the drill hole. So that's very encouraging to show us that potentially, yeah, that might be. I mean, it's all speculation at this stage, Matthew. There's a number of places where it could be. And we want to do deeper geophysics as well. Look, we did the ground magnetics, and we did some IP, but the IP didn't go down that deep, to be honest. It was kind of, I think, 250, 300 meters. And we weren't 100% convinced as well because of the cover. So we want to do better, deeper geophysics. And MT has been successfully used by Philo to help them delineate at greater depth what's going on. That helped them guide them to their hole 41. So that's definitely something we're thinking. But now internally, you know, we've finished the season. We want to digest all the results, go away and plan, and then come back, you know, for the field season starting October, November, where hopefully we've got some good targets where we believe could be the feeder zone, and we can start to test those. So that's kind of the overview, Matthew. And I think, like, just talking on the grade, you know, definitely a lot of talk on the grade from the first holes. Look, we started to see it picking up in patches. You know, 22 meters, for example, of 1.61, pretty high up in the hole is good grade. And one strategy we could do is just try and fire these high grade zones down, right? And that could well lead us to the feeder. That's a very simplistic way of doing it. But we actually think that, yeah, where we've been drilling probably isn't. The feeder could be a little bit away from where we've been drilling. And if that is true, then that is really, really a sizable lithocap. Look, lithocaps can be up to 10 kilometers square of surface. They can be massive. They can be a kilometer thick, right? And the way we are definitely has the potential to be big. You know, we know there's another lithocap down in Mizuko. And then there's some on the new JV ground as well to the east. So, very exciting geologically. I think that unfortunately the start of the trading, the market wasn't so excited, and it's what it is. I think we just need to keep moving forward, and obviously affects us from a cost of capital perspective, but the main thing is that we we have the resources to go and explore, and if need be we have to look for other sources of funding if you know the market isn't willing to be funding, or the funding from the market's extremely expensive. Then we have to look for other sources of funding. But you know, we've come out into the public market. Hopefully, you know, we can get people aware of the opportunity here. Now we're trading back, you know, 9-10 million market cap. I think you know we've shown a lot of value add from this initial drill program. So hopefully, also people can take a little bit of a step back and understand that this is a very good entry point on a discovery story. We can now say we've discovered a deposit. You know, to be hitting 364 meters of continuous mineralization is great. And we've hit in all these four holes, good mineralization consistently from the end of the moraine cover to the bottom of the lithocap. So yeah, I think that's key. Like, you know, this is a lithocap that has good mineralization in it. And as we vector into the center, to the source, to the feeder, that's going to pick up. And yeah, if it is a big lithocap and we're finding this kind of grade potentially on the edge, then at the center, it could be amazing. So I think, you know, it's our first drill program. In the end, we drilled 3,100 meters. We definitely had a lot of issues in these fault zones that really slowed us down. So that's also, you know, some perspective that it's only 3,100 meters, of which only 2,100 meters were basically done here at Lajita. You know, we did 1,000 meters of the first two targets. So definitely wanted to get more meters into the target, and you know, hopefully we'll do that later in the year and move the target forward a lot more meaningfully. But yeah, there's some obvious targets already, Matthew, but definitely we want to do some deeper geophysics, you know, digest, get a lot of brain power going into the targeting and come back and start testing these targets later in the year.
Well, you've definitely you've come out swinging here today. I kind of like it. Yeah, obviously, I mean, this is the part that I find curious about this, and this is almost an echo of our last conversation, where to me, very much an affirming and positive news release. Where, as you said, I mean, it's not blockbuster barn burner grades, but as you said, at scale, these are mineable economic grades, and more importantly, it demonstrates and proves that there is something that is very much worthy of follow up. And then the disconnect, you know, the frustrating part for you, and I can, you know, can feel it in terms of just like your responses here today, is that sort of positivity from your perspective is just being matched with kind of the bottom falling out of the market in terms of share price. I mean, yeah, down to a $10 million market cap. I mean, there's projects with kind of moose pasture sort of thing, right, that trades at those levels. So I can appreciate why you're kind of, like I say, kind of coming at this pretty passionately. I you know, you've touched on a number of topics I want to talk about. I mean, I think one of the things I want to do here is kind of, and you know, we were talking before recording, and you definitely hit on these answered a couple of these questions already, but kind of baby's first geology, right? And first geology lesson in terms of helping people kind of walk through what you've done here, that, you know, that the 0.8 grams of gold equivalent maybe it's not gonna, you're not gonna write home to grandma about it, but still nevertheless is actually quite significant. And so, yeah, I mean, I wanted you to talk about the lithocap and the feeder zones, and you managed, you touched on those pretty well, right? I mean, I think that's exactly what pushed Philo into overdrive, as you were talking about, right? Is that their discovery years in, right? And that's, you know, you guys are kind of doing this speed run of a mini version of Philo del Sol at this point, that you can already start to vector in on a feeder zone when it took them 40 some holes to get there. But maybe let's just take a step back, because I think that, you know, there's a quote, I mean, you're hitting all the right kind of rocks, you know, and there's a quote that I will or maybe I won't read the whole thing here, but there's a quote from your, I think it was your description of hole six. Don't quote me on that, but primary mineralization consists of disseminated and quartz vein hosts of chalcopyrite, overlain by pyrite chalcocite, black sulfides, filling fractures, and breccia matrix. Additionally, numerous intermediate sulfidation epithermal veins have been identified, composed of quartz and massive sulfides, predominantly galena and sphalerite, together with elevated gold, silver, zinc values, and the hole ended in a fault zone with strong silica, sericite, clay alteration. This is the believed base of the lithocap. I mean, to me, that, like, all the right kind of rocks, I guess, is my point, right? That all the right kind of rocks that you want to see in a porphyry, economic porphyry system, you're dragging through them. And so not really a question there, but I just wanted to maybe bring that up. But then this is now hole eight that I'm talking about now, but you reference in your news release, and then maybe, again, this is maybe just trying to demonstrate to people in a very clear way what's going on here, but, you know, bornite replacing chalcopyrite, you know, that's obviously a very positive thing. I mean, bornite just is higher grade copper than chalco, but I mean, it's also a bit of a signpost for the kind of system you're in and where you are in it, right? And again, maybe just to demonstrate clearly for people, can you just explain bornite and its significance for you guys in terms of what that is?
Well, look, we haven't really hit much copper yet, right? I think that's definitely disappointed some people, including ourselves, right? It's been more of a gold-rich system. And look, actually, when you look at these systems, generally the gold keeps moving, right? So gold actually is often in the peripheral part of the system, which is also a good indication that we are in the peripheral part of the system still, because it's gold dominant. So look, definitely in this feeder zone, it's most likely going to be copper dominant, assuming that the feeder is being fed by a copper dominant porphyry. Now, potentially it's being fed by a gold dominant porphyry. You do have those not much further north in Maricunga. So that is potentially the case. Let's see. But look, we've sent already off some age dating on the mineralization to understand. That should give us a pretty good indication, kind of, you know, what the core source is. But look, bornite is a very high grade copper host. So to be seeing that is great, right? And like, I think, you know, it's not a deep hole. It's 88 meters, but we saw it over a good stretch of that hole, the hole eight. So hopefully we're getting back higher copper grades. And like, you can see that on your image at the bottom, Matthew, where it's drilled the hole eight over to the east, you know, it's a fair distance away from where we've been drilling and is on the top of one of these big magnetic anomalies. In fact, the biggest. That eastern magnetic anomaly is the biggest of the three magnetic anomalies we have in this area. So, encouraged by that. But it's a big system, Matthew, for sure, that's mineralized. And yeah, when you're getting these mineralized lithocaps, you've generally had a lot of hydrothermal activity bringing the metals up into these beds. So that's great to be seeing and geologically quite significant. And yeah, we touched on the grade. It's picking up in parts. And you know, I think there's definitely the big overprint there from the intermediate sulfidation aspect came through. You know, we're getting some good silver and zinc hits, particularly not the one you got here, but particularly on hole six and hole four to a little bit. There's a lot going on geologically for sure. There's a lot of mineralization here. You can see, I mean, like we gave the kind of outline of the holes. This is hole six, and you can see you can really see the kind of like porphyry dikes. I mean, that's, you know, they're not thick porphyries, these parts coming up through, right? So that's great to be seeing. And in fact, they're coming up into lithocap environment is a good indication that there is a major porphyry system below the lithocap. So, very encouraged by that. And, actually the grade, you know, we didn't, because this is already, this is a hole six and, you know, time was ticking. So we moved on. I mean, maybe we should have kept going a bit deeper, tried to get through that fault at the bottom, but you know, we hit a very similar fault to all the other ones. So where we drilled 100 meters plus, we couldn't get through. So in this case, we stopped it a bit shorter. We're pleased. We're definitely pleased. We feel we've learned a lot about this deposit this season on a relatively small program. And now we want to go, you know, digest, add to our understanding of the deposit, and vector into this big prize, which is the feeder zone into this, and then getting through and understanding what's below, right? And you could have a massive porphyry complex if we're lucky. Definitely has the potential. And also continue to delineate the size of this lithocap, right? It's kind of open, it seems, in all directions to us from where we've been drilling. So, a lot to do. And I think, the issue for us now is getting the resources to do it. You know, unfortunately, this market is still difficult, I would suggest, at best. And it's a case where, you know, us as a new entrant, a new junior company, we're not getting love from the market. So that hopefully will change as over the coming months. We'll do our best to do that and get the resources we need at our disposal. But like, we own this property 100%. It's prime real estate, right? It's like having a beautiful house in Manhattan. Worst case, we sit on it and we say, okay, if you're not going to fund us, we'll keep it ourselves and we'll wait for better markets to do funding. But let's see how things progress over the coming period.
Yeah, no, I think that honestly, rather than getting into gory detail on every single hole results, which I think people can do for themselves, and we have the visuals here to demonstrate that, I think you've done a pretty good overview of why from your perspective, and why I think that there's validity in your perspective that the market's not fully giving you credit for what you're actually kind of managing to pull together here. Rather than kind of getting into extremely specific detail on a hole by hole breakdown, I think that you've kind of demonstrated what I was hoping to have you demonstrate. But then maybe just a couple of grab bag questions here, right? I mean, one on network, and then maybe a conversation about El Dorado, and then, sure, then one more after that. But so you're running a magnetotelluric survey, which is something I wasn't overly familiar with, and so doing some reading, and uses natural EM fields versus your traditional EM or IP work, where it's induced polarity, induced charged electromagnetic. But can you just, why is this significant, right? The use of it, you touched on this earlier, but can you just maybe explain for people again the significance of using magnetotelluric and why it might help you so much in this specific kind of circumstance?
Very simplistically, to look deeper. It has the ability to do very deep geophysics. So it was successfully used at Philo for them identifying their hole 41, which hit their feeder zone. Hopefully we can get a similar outcome. That would be fantastic. So yeah, to have a look deeper into the system, and that there's a lot of potential areas, but hopefully there's a pretty compelling one from deeper geophysics. There's maybe a few we want to test. It should give us a pretty good idea with a lot greater depth of what's going on down there. We'll assess just something. We've got a few quotes from some contractors. And it seems to make sense to do it to have a better understanding, because that's obviously the key prize for us now. If we can vector in on this feeder zone and we hit a bonanza hole, then I think the market will give us a lot of love. Right? It'll be a very different thing, and definitely it's been very obvious to me over the last month that the market is still very fixated on grade. Right, it's very fixated on grade, so that's what it is, and we need to give it some grade, I think, to get some more love. So yeah, it's definitely the priority. And if we hit it, it will be transformational. And I think a lot of the world's major mining companies are now very keen on lithocaps. They understand the scale. Some of the best deposits, the big mine today, are lithocaps. So yeah, I think that's definitely positive as well for us. After the first hole, we had a couple of major companies we weren't talking to reach out. CAs have been signed, Decent discussions going on. There's multiple other companies we've already spoken to. So I think hopefully we could also, get some validation on that front to show the market, here you go. This is some strategic investment. But hopefully we can also just show people this is a good opportunity where they can make some good money on getting in at this kind of point.
Yeah, no, I think that's, good projects are getting punished in this market, and it's just a frustrating reality, right? And I don't envy executives who have to try to raise funds and keep their companies alive. Why don't we, like I said, kind of just going through a couple more kind of quick hitting questions. Mm-hmm. I had a few different investors reach out to me asking to ask you about kind of El Dorado, and maybe if you could kind of discuss, I think, maybe, and I'm just theory crafting here, as I maybe part of the issue is Are people concerned about maybe not distinguish, you know, Sendero not distinguishing the results from Eldorados, or how you're kind of building off that, or improving, or proving what they didn't, or maybe just theory crafting here, so you can, you know, call me if I'm wrong, but I will give you credit 100% here that, you know, that this is just a screen grab from a, and that I put the website URL just a simplified version up there for people to use. This actually is in your most recent news release. If you scroll down, you can click, and Michael and Sendero actually do give the entire assayed results of every single Eldorado hole from what is now Lolita. And so, I mean, credit to you guys, right? It's you're helping investors do their own due diligence here. And so, I mean, I don't have the full one. There's, you know, 15 or 20 holes there. Here's the first three. But do you just want to, I mean, yeah, what do you think about that? I mean, what has Eldorado done for you? What have you done differently than them? Can you maybe, you know, I asked you this last time you were on, and it was more of a general kind of conversation, but can you maybe try to offer some specifics for people that are maybe concerned about how much you overlap and how much you distinguish and how much you've proven what they didn't kind of thing, or your success versus theirs?
Yeah. Look, when they drilled it back in 95 to 97, they did relatively sharp drilling where we drilled. You can see, I think the deepest hole was about 220 or so. And they actually drilled deeper further west. And they hit three holes, actually close to the Western Magnetic Anomaly, all ending in pretty good mineralization deeper. And that's definitely an interesting area to test as well. But yeah, like we spoke with them. They did RC, you know, they didn't really understand the system, but they knew there was a lot of hydrothermal activity taking place here. They knew it was a big system. But they had a lot of ground at the time, and they were poking around in lots of different places. They had most of the Lundin ground today, right? When they were doing this drilling as well, so, and a lot more as well. So yeah, like I think that they gave us a good guide, right? Definitely, you know, you can see that hole three was a great hole. You know, the 100-meter hole, they had about 68 meters of 1.1, including all the metals there, like some good intercepts over 2 grams gold equivalent. So yeah, I think, you know, we wanted to confirm that we were getting similar grades in this area before we kind of were too public with this. So now we've done 4 holes here and similar kind of grades in the area. You know, I think we've validated these historic results, that we feel that. So yeah, we've put them out, and we've put out all the depths and the maps. And a lot of the holes that were done were just 50-meter holes. You can have a look. We put all the drill collars on there. They were doing relatively short drilling. I mean, it was a completely different time, right? 1995, gold was, I don't even know what it was. Vicuña was a gap, you know, nothing had been found there. So the expectations were not high. And lithocaps, basically, I mean, we had a chat with Gary Norden again the other week. Gary's been great. He was the founder of Eldorado and ran the exploration program. And, you know, lithocap wasn't a concept back in 1995. It's a relatively new concept. We touched on it when we spoke with him. So it's definitely been helpful, you know, for us to have had this guide, knowing that there was reasonable metal there. And look, when we drew the first hole, you know, well, this is a lithocap. You got telescoping, fantastic, right? So that's why we jumped in to the target. We knew it was a major system. And I think we would have liked better grade as well in these holes than we've got, unfortunately, but. It's definitely a decent grade, right, for where we are. And we touched on before. What we're hitting is very comparable to the resource grades. And definitely now we understand the nature of the deposit. As we vector into the center of this lithocap, the feeder system, the grade is going to pick up for sure. So we could end up with actually a lot higher grade deposit if this is the peripheral part of what we're drilling at the moment. So yeah, it's good that we had this as a guide for sure. I mean, for anybody doing exploration, it helps when you've had some historic decent holes for sure to give you a guide. And yeah, you know, we've extended obviously a lot deeper than they ever went, and got to what we believe is the bottom of the lithocap exactly. So you know, Gary's view always was, yeah, we definitely decent, right? And you wouldn't need to go deeper. That's what he's always said to us, and yeah, you know, he was definitely encouraged by the first hole. I haven't spoke to him since we got these results, but yeah, he's like, well, that's great that you're seeing porphyry activity and these dikes coming up, right? That's really encouraging that you are sitting on a big system.
So just for kind of for historical posterity kind of clarification, it's you are mimicking and mirroring with roughly speaking what they've done, but your the geological understanding of what it is you're exploring is actually fundamentally different, right? And so you're actually just exploring, like you say, versus it rather than it being a gap, this is a very explicit intentional target where you're targeting something that they didn't even kind of think about or consider to exist.
Yeah, and the little cup concept was not something they were thinking of, right? When they were drilling it, it wasn't a prevalent geological concept back then, and definitely wasn't something they had in mind that could be the start of the deposit.
Yeah, no, good. So I honestly, I think that's kind of in terms of a run through of the news today, that does it for me. I wanted to end on the fly in the ointment, so to speak, right? Because if people check the stock price, I mean, yeah, it's down significantly again today. But I mean, why? What's going on here? I mean, is this, like I say, I kind of asked the Eldorado question. I mean, is this being held hostage for financing? Is this disappointment over copper grades? Is this just heightened kind of retail hyped expectations and not understanding what kind of the prize is? I mean, what's going on here? And I guess I'll end there. What's in your eyes? What's happening here?
Yeah, it's a good question, Matthew. I think maybe there's some people that, and I think they can just buy the financing. I don't think the financing is going to be that big. I think there's a good chance we get a strategic investor over the coming months. Based on that, I think the warrants will be back in the money. And I don't think the financing needs to be that big that comes. Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe heightened expectations with Vicuña. People thought we're going to be hitting Filo, Luna Westy grades. But, those guys have been exploring for a long time. And I think for us to be hitting these kind of holes on our first few is very encouraging. And, we're not where they are yet, but nor is our share price. They're multi-billion dollar companies. So, we're starting out on this journey. I think, very compelling time to be buying the stock for people that are looking at the story. And yeah, I don't quite understand why people are selling, why they don't think this is worth at least $10 million. I don't know, but they obviously don't. So be it. Obviously deciding to put their money elsewhere. But we'll continue to show the geology to people, show this is a meaningful discovery that could be very, very large, very significant. And as a consequence, would be worth a lot of money. And that's what people are in the market for, are these opportunities. And that's what we're trying to present to people. And yeah, we've learned a lot in this initial program. We've advanced the project a lot. We've gone from knowing there's some decent epithermal grades to knowing it's high sulfidation telescopes, knowing it's a lithocap environment. Now we understand that. Now we can factor in on a feeder zone. We didn't know that when we started this drilling, right? We didn't understand any of that. So we've learned a lot and we've hit some decent holes. Yeah, they're not blockbuster bonanza holes, but they're not bad. 22 meters of 1.6 gold equivalent is a good intercept. We hit, 114 meters of 0.84 gold equivalent. It's a good intercept, pretty from surface, pretty much. We've only got the moraine cover above 33.8 meters of moraine cover, glacial tilt. You can just move that out of the way, right? Don't need to blast it, most likely. Just move it, bulldoze it out of the way. So. Very encouraged, Matthew, internally, geologically, moving it forward. And hopefully, we can start to show that to the market as well. And we can get some more love and support from the market. And people will start to realize that this is a great opportunity to make money buying these shares at these kind of prices.
Honestly, I think that ends it for me, Michael. Anything you wanted to touch on before we kind of say goodbye?
No, that's great, Matthew. No, I think really just look at the geology, right? Look at what we're showing you. Please have a look. Jeffrey Haddonquist has done some great videos online. He's really the kind of regarded as the preeminent expert in lithocaps and explains it very simplistically. And when you have a mineralized lithocap, always it has a feeder zone, and that feeder zone will be the highest grade part, right? So if you're not excited by the grade we're showing you here of the lithocap, which we believe is very economic grade in a low cost jurisdiction, the grade in the feeder zone is going to be higher, and close to the feeder zone will still be higher. So we're onto potentially a very, very meaningful discovery, and I think that just needs to get out to the market. And I think unfortunately, maybe just heightened expectations. People were thinking we're going to be hitting Lundin style holes on our first drill program, And unfortunately, we haven't. So I think some people have been underwhelmed by that. Yeah.
No, good. Yeah, the quest continues, right? And piece by piece, that puzzle's coming together. Michael Wood, Sendero Resources, SEND.V on the venture. Yeah, thanks for your time, Michael. I'm sure we'll speak again soon. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew.